Welcome to the Property Elite podcast. I'll be your host, Jen Lehman, Chartered Surveyor and co-founder of Property Elite. Stay tuned each week for more on industry hot topics, market updates, and new RICS guidance. In this week's podcast, we take a look at the new RICS professional statement, Valuation of Buy-to-Let and HMO Properties Second Edition. It's essential listening for all residential ASOT RICS and APC candidates pursuing the valuation competency. If you head to our website blog, you'll find a link to read the full guidance on the RICS website. The new guidance was effective from the 1st of December 2022, and it was issued by RICS, primarily because market changes have led to a substantial residential private rented sector, PRS, in the UK, due to strong returns compared to alternative investment opportunities. The new guidance recognises the current state of the PRS market, which includes single residential units, houses in multiple occupation, HMOs, and multi-unit blocks. The guidance applies to valuation work for both private and lender clients. So, there are three categories of buy-to-let properties, and these have been updated in the second edition guidance. Category one, a single individual residential units let to a single household on a single assured shorthold tenancy, or AST. And this won't be part of a portfolio. This type of property may be subject to selective licensing in some cases. Category two, small HMOs let on a single AST to a group of individuals or separate ASTs with a minimum of three tenants forming two households, up to a maximum of six tenants sharing communal facilities. This type of property may be subject to selective licensing, additional licensing, or mandatory licensing where there are five or more tenants. Category three, these are larger licensed HMOs with seven or more tenants and multiple units with an element of shared facilities held on a single title. These may be let on a single AST to a group of individuals or on separate ASTs. HMO regulations will need to be complied with, together with this type of occupation falling into the sui generis planner in use. A key change is to category two in the second edition guidance, which now reflects the HMO definitions used for planning purposes. Valuers must have a clear understanding of HMO requirements and licensing, together with what is defined as shared facilities for shared houses, flats, and bedsits. Valuers also need to understand the PRS market, going beyond just basic knowledge. They need to understand the history and development of the PRS together with broader issues such as underwriting standards for buy-to-let mortgages, including affordability testing, interest rate affordability stress testing, portfolio landlords and risk management, financial services regulation and sector regulations such as right to rent checks, safety regulations and energy efficiency obligations. So what do you need to know about recording the instruction? As a specialist area of valuation, valuers need to be sufficiently competent, skilled, knowledgeable, and experienced to take on this type of work. Before accepting any instructions, valuers should work through Appendix A of the RICS guidance. This provides a helpful checklist that valuers should be able to satisfy before they accept this type of work. When valuing for secured lending purposes, valuers need to ensure that they're aware of the lender client's specific guidance on buy-to-let valuations. This is generally separate from guidance for owner-occupied valuations and will include guidance on approach and methodology. The instruction should comply with VPS 1 of the Roadbook Global and specifically include applicant details, full address, tenure details, leasehold terms if applicable or known, including lease length, ground rent and service charge, the type of valuation required and report to be completed, the lender's guidelines to be applied, usually in a separate document, access details, so the vendor, landlord or managing agent's name and contact details, the purchase price or estimated value, the proposed loan amount, the rent passing or estimated rent and frequency, the number of tenants and the nature of occupancy, so a single unit, sharers or multiple occupation, the service level agreement that applies, and any intentions of the applicant, such as proposed works, if applicable. Moving on, what do you need to know about the basis of valuation? Valuers should have a robust understanding of the underwriting process, including not just market value, but also the accuracy and sustainability of the market rent. This should be assessed as per VPS 4 of the Red Book and not just simply by accepting the passing rent at face value. Valuers therefore need to assess relevant comparables as in any diligent valuation exercise. The assessment of market rent will be net of any inclusive utility costs and be on the basis of an unfurnished 6 month for short hold tenancy. Valuers also need to report on any legal and regulatory matters that need to be verified by solicitors. This is because such issues may affect the use of the property and potentially result in local authority enforcement actions, subsequently affecting the sustainability of the rental income. Areas of relevant legislation include the Homes Fitness for Human Habitation Act 2018, relating to the basic requirements for a property to be fit for habitation at the beginning of and during a tenancy. The Housing Act 2004, relating to the definition of an HMO. The Management of Houses in Multiple Occupation England Regulations 2006, relating to a landlord's duties to maintain and keep HMOs safe. The Licensing of Houses in Multiple Occupation, Mandatory Condition of Licenses, England Regulations 2018, relating to minimum bedroom sizes. Part X of the Housing Act 1985, relating to statutory overcrowding, though a more modern standard is now found in Part 1 of the Housing Act 2004. The Housing Health and Safety Rating System, the Regulatory Reform Fire Safety Order 2005 as amended, and the Fire Safety Act 2021. The Building Safety Act 2022, the Licensing of Houses in Multiple Occupation Prescribed Definition England Order 2018, relating to mandatory HMO licensing requirements, Parts 2 and 3 of the Housing Act 2004 relating to additional and selective licensing, the Housing and Planning Act 2016 relating to banning orders for landlords and agents, the Town and Country Planning Use Classes Amendment England Regulations 2020 relating to residential use classes, and finally, the Leasehold Reform Ground Rent Act 2022 relating to the abolition of ground rents for new qualifying long leasehold properties. By reading the RICS guidance, valuers can find out further detail on what we've just discussed, which should be supplemented by regular specific CPD. So moving on. When inspecting, valuers must adhere to VPS 2 of the RICS Valuation Global Standards, Red Book Global, and UK VPGA 11 of the UK National Supplement if the property is a single buy-to-let investment. The assessment of market rent will be based upon the actual condition of the property at the valuation date, not on the assumption that any repairs or improvements will be made, unless a special assumption, of course, is instructed by the client. Valuers need to be able to assess the standard of accommodation, the lettability of the accommodation, and the expectations of the local tenant target market. For example, is the property readily lettable, and what level of rent will be achievable in the current condition? The valuer may determine that essential repairs to make the property lettable may have a material impact upon value, such as extensive works or complete refurbishment. Depending on the lender's requirements, these could be dealt with via retention or declining the loan. Minor issues such as dated fittings or marked decorations are unlikely to lead to a property being declined, although they may affect the market rent that is achievable. In a similar manner, the valuer may deem that non-compliance with legal and regulatory matters substantially impacts value. So, how should you value a single residential unit, such as a flat or a house? This will be let on a single AST. Valuers can use the comparable method of owner-occupied sales or lettings to assess both market rent and market value. In some areas where the majority of housing is rented, though, valuers may base their opinion on comparable investment transactions. The assessment of market rent should include the special assumption of vacant possession unless the client requests otherwise. So, for an HMO, a single approach to a single residential unit can be adopted, so the comparable method using owner-occupied sales. However, where the market dictates, as we've just discussed, then comparable investment transactions may be used instead. In some areas, There will be a premium attributable over and above an owner-occupied house, given the alterations and adaptations made to an HMO property. Valuers may then decide to adopt the investment method, where a market rent and market-based gross yield will need to be analysed to calculate the market value. In some complex cases, a net yield analysis and approach may be more appropriate, such as where there's high management input or other significant costs, such as health and safety management plans, HMO licensing, and higher insurance premiums. The assessment of a market-based yield will also include an assessment of the tenant's risk profile, such as tenant turnover, costs of eviction, management, and housing allowance payments. The investment method can also provide a useful cross-check to the comparable method and provide further justification for the valuer's opinion of value. The valuation rationale adopted will depend on the local market. So, for example, an HMO in a predominantly owner-occupied area, an HMO in a mixed area, or an HMO in an area subject to an Article 4 direction. Further guidance is given in Section 4.4 of the RICS guidance. So finally, what other areas should you consider? These include buildings insurance and reinstatement costs if requested by the client, leasehold property ground rents and onerous covenants, the minimum energy efficiency standard, MEES, and minimum EPC rating of E required to let a property with a proposed increased target to C in 2025, flood risk, financial crime and red flags, for example, of a property being let as an HMO but being presented as a single occupancy, and finally, refurbishment loan products. Thanks for listening to the Property Elite podcast this week. Head to our website to check out our full blog, free and paid support resources and services, free consultation for every single RICS APC and ASOC RICS candidate, and also ask us any questions you have via the website chat blog. See you next week.